So this week's episode is number 400, and it was recorded live on March 20, 2021. As often happens with live streams, I get a little overwhelmed and make mistakes. Biggest one I made was not recording locally. So the audio that we have is what I pulled from YouTube from the live stream, and it's not quite up to my usual standards, but it is still pretty good. Jason has way more echo than I was expecting and way more than I heard in the headphones. So I need to figure out what's wrong with my setup that caused that. But it was a lot of fun. It's a good episode. Enjoy. Atheist Nomads episode 400. We've actually made it to 400.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to an episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Justin, and joining me is Lauren.
Hello.
And even further over, if you're watching the videos, Jason.
What's up?
All right, so this is episode 400. Because we were able to, we are doing this on Saturday, March 20, which is the spring equinox.
Yep.
It worked out to is going to be this weekend, so we chose the equinox because, well, that's more fun. And Jazz Cross says, happy 400th episode.
Yes, thank you. I would really have liked to have actually made a party out of it, but that's not really possible right now.
This is the best we could do party-wise, is have Jason join us.
Thank you,
Skype.
Jason.
Woo!
At least we got somebody who is willing to talk to us.
We only asked two and half said yes.
Who was the other one?
You're just not much of a party planner is the thing. I would have like emailed like 400 people hoping for three.
Yeah. All right, so as often happens with live streams, I am scrambling to actually have everything ready. Doing live streams with a three-year-old is tricky.
Yeah, we've been spent all the time that we should have been prepping, we were spending trying to get tire out the toddler so that she'd take a nap, which I'm sure she will be up in 45 minutes.
Yep,
right on cue, not the 2 hours that we're hoping for,
like the or even the first time Jason says something really funny.
She'll come screaming.
Yeah, we'll start laughing, and then she'll come screaming. Yeah. But we're going to start off with the Dustin off the degree. Because it is the equinox, it is a good solar day, it seemed a good time to talk about Sol Invictus. Which, if there was a god, Sol Invictus would be the god. Now, I say that despite the fact that the cult of Sol Invictus never commemorated the solstices or equinoxes.
No.
Ever.
That seems lacking.
At least the
winter one.
What they did have was an annual celebration of the birth of the unconquered sun, the rebirth of the unconquered sun, on December 25. That started in at least... well, a long time ago. it was definitely that date was definitely in place as part of the celebrations well before the time it became the official religion of Rome in 274 CE. But December 25, the rebirth of the unconquered sun.
Not coincidentally, I'm sure.
There's even more. Constantine the First ordered in the year 321, he decreed that Deus Solis, the day of the sun, which we call Sunday, would be celebrated as the Roman day of rest, basically the Roman Sabbath, to honor Sol Invictus. So both Sunday and Christmas comes from the cult of Sol Invictus.
Yeah, it looks like Christianity didn't go very far.
No.
When it came to stealing stuff, they just like kind of looked over at like one. They're like, oh, hey, that works. We'll take all of their stuff.
Yeah. Now, the cult of Sol, just the worship of the sun, dates back into prehistory in Rome. So at least as soon as the historical record started, Sol was always a deity, just not generally one of the main deities that got most of the focus. although at various points in time, Sol and Jupiter were correlated with each other. There was also a point where Apollo, who was a Greek god, started getting worshipped in Rome as well. And he was sometimes being associated with Sol. By the time you get to the kind of neo-cult of the sun, with Sol Invictus, that's where you get to Mithra, the god of the of Mithraism, which is often viewed as being a particular cult that was a forebearer of Christianity. And it was particularly popular among soldiers. Sol Invictus and Mithra started to be kind of viewed as two different names of the same god. And so you had the imperial family and courts all worshipping Sol Invictus and the troops worshipping Sol Invictus as Mithra. There is then also, like with Constantine the First's conversion to Christianity, that depending on which version of the story you read, if it's the Roman pagan version, he had a vision from Apollo encouraging him to continue his devotion and worship of Sol Invictus slash Apollo. If you look at the Christian accounts of it...
What a self-serving bastard.
Yeah. If you look at the Christian accounts of it, it was Jesus who appeared to him and told him to start worshiping Jesus and baptize his army.
Wait, so two stories of the same
thing, event,
but two totally different endpoints. He ended up converting and baptizing his troops. So where does the Apollo one have any kind of standing?
He continued to have his coinage with the image of Sol Invictus on it for at least another 20 years.
He pandered to both sides.
He was totally playing both sides.
Good for him.
And there is a other easy explanation of that.
He by was cheap this, and didn't want to restamp currency.
By this point in time, the 4th century, Sol Invictus, Apollo, Jupiter, and Jesus Christ, and Mithra were all being viewed as the, as different names for the sun god.
It reminds me of that episode in Star Trek where the realization at the end is like, they're worshiping the sun. They're talking about Jesus Christ. And I'm like, no, they're talking about the other yeah. sun. The one that actually makes sense to worship.
Yeah. And in this case, it could have been that he incorporated Christianity into the cult of Sol Invictus, and that the conversion of Rome to Christianity was actually more just those two merging. And that is kind of that's kind of weird.
Makes sense.
And it really does make sense. You look at Christianity was definitely has long been a religion that integrates in elements of the local culture they're trying to convert. Most of the Catholic holidays and saint days, well, not most, the earliest ones were set up to commemorate or to replace the local holidays and festivals. And it would make sense that in trying to convert the Roman government, that they would also just kind of absorb the cult that was growing in prominence. Nobody who worshipped Sol Invictus was ever a monotheist, meaning they didn't believe any other gods existed. They tended to be henotheists, which are people who believe there are multiple gods, but only worship one god. And so Constantine was an example of a henotheist who only worshipped Sol Invictus, but acknowledge that there were other gods, just not the ones that he would worship. And it would make sense that if you want to try to make everybody happy, you just call your one god that you're worshiping a different name depending on who you're talking to. If you're talking to the pagans and you call that god by the pagan name Sol Invictus, they're all going to be happy. If you're talking to, and by pagans I mean the Romans, if you're talking to the Greeks and you call that god Apollo, he'll keep them happy. And if you're talking to Christians and you call that god Jesus, they'll be happy. And it was probably just a case of, yeah, political pandering, and it appears to have been highly successful. Unfortunately, it was successful enough that all of those other religions within a couple generations were wiped out as Christianity became the sole the sole official and legal religion in Rome. There was a point where it was illegal to not be a Christian in the Roman Empire. And
how did that work out for him?
The empire was rapidly in decline at that point, so not well.
Sounds really familiar.
Yeah, not well.
Nothing current that could be applied to.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so that's it for Dustin Off the Degree. And we've got news. First off, we need to talk about the shootings in Atlanta. Robert Aaron Long is a 21-year-old white male who has confessed to the shootings.
Notice he's alive.
Yes, he is alive. Oh man, the police caught him doing a maneuver in the high-speed chase that causes car to spin out. That could have been fatal, but they did it the maneuver well enough for him to spin out and not die.
Yeah, but the point is that he managed to get out of the car alive.
Yes.
When if he had been some other color, perhaps that would not have been the case.
A white guy with a gun can survive an encounter with the police. That cannot be said for somebody who is not white with a gun in an encounter with the police. But Long went to three different massage parlors, all specifically Asian massage parlors, and mostly specifically Korean. And went into the first one north of Atlanta and opened fire, started shooting, then drove south, got to the next one, opened fire, and started shooting. And then by the time the police were arriving at that one, he was at the third one and started shooting and killed eight people, six of whom were Asian women.
Yeah, so this has been an unraveling of motivations.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately everybody's like, okay, well, this was obviously racist.
Yes. The exact day that it happened, Trump was doing a rally talking about the China flu.
It makes sense that people would jump to that conclusion. Oh, this must be related to that.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's like, well, okay, no, well, it could be prostitution. Even though I'm sure these were mostly above bar.
I haven't seen any articles that have gone into details on the parlors. There seems to have been a 100% agreement across the board to not blame the victims.
Yeah, no, this was, you don't blame the victims, you blame the motivation of the shooter.
Yeah.
And if the motivation of the shooter is what he perceived as sinful, illicit activities, whether they were or not,
mm-hmm.
That's what that was the kind of the second one that I heard coming out. And then personal details of his life started to surface, like the crazy camps he went to, super Christian, sex addiction one.
Yeah.
And, wasn't there a gay one as well?
So it was a particular treatment facility that
treats all of that stuff,
treats sexual issues of sex addiction, porn addiction, and does gay conversion therapy.
Oh, so he may not have actually went for that reason, but
right, it was a place was that addresses all of those, which are, for one, not mental health issues, not real things. So he was going to bullshit treatment centers to get bullshit treatment for being a 21-year-old male who was normal and healthy.
Yeah, except for the neck beard. That's not normal or healthy.
That's awful.
Yeah, that actually absolutely is.
That the first, yeah, when the picture came out of the guy and people were like, oh my God, seriously, a neck beard? No, that that plays into the stereotype. So yeah. Much.
Yeah.
So much. So yeah, probably an incel. Early 20s. This is white male. This is following a pattern.
Southern Baptist.
A pattern of I don't know, domestic terrorism?
So yeah.
Radicalization of young men.
He was Southern Baptist, was born into a Baptist church in Atlanta, and was baptized as a child, and then for some reason everyone decided that he had not had a true conversion, so he had to be baptized again.
Probably caught with a porno mag.
Yeah.
Because young male.
Yep. So he had to go through a second baptism. and they concluded that he was fully born again. This was something that they had celebrated, the church had celebrated on their Facebook page. They'd live streamed it, had the video up. They've now taken that down. So it sounds like that was relatively recent. So most likely he had started watching porn and had gone to massage parlors and gotten happy endings, and then went to these purity,
quote unquote, treatment centers,
Christian purity culture propaganda brainwashing compounds, where he then concluded that the only way to avoid the sin was to eliminate the temptation. And so he decided, oh, go ahead.
I'm just saying that, like, there's an awful lot of internet to take care of in that case.
Yeah. Oh, he actually had. He got rid of his smartphone and went to a flip phone.
Yeah, okay. That's as far as he needed to go, mm-hmm. pretty sure.
Call it good.
Okay, so if you're driving down a highway and heck, even in Boise, you know, you drive down a certain stretch of road and there will be multiple Asian massage parlors. I think only one or two have ever been busted for anything more than just being massage parlors.
There was three or four of them on at least two occasions recently.
Recently, within the past 10 years.
Just in the last, like, three.
Oh, well, show how much I pay attention. But it's really easy just to, be out of your mind and then just, drive down the road and pick these off. It could have been anything, but he just happened to fixate on this particular one. Now it's been a week,
almost
a week, and local governments, national governments, have all come out saying that they, that this is a tragedy. We're here to support Asian Americans. And then the backlash that I've seen of that locally, from Facebook warriors who are saying this isn't racial at all, and you don't need to pander to Asians to try and get more votes using this tragedy, which in itself is racist.
All right, and so what's this portion of the population you're seeing blaming it on?
Okay, so the older white men are blaming it on some kind of mental illness.
Okay.
That this guy had, he had been to treatment, it didn't take, and this was a lone wolf attack. You see, that one pops up all the time. And that Asians have no reason to be scared, and governments shouldn't be apologizing for something that didn't happen. If you assume that's correct, that this was not racially motivated, that this was targeting what this person considered to be sinful or illicit places of business, as an Asian American, I'm pretty sure you'd still be terrified of what happened.
Well, because
he
specifically identified Asian women to kill on the chance that they might be sex workers.
Yeah, that's really racist.
Yeah, that's super racist.
Racist, and also terrifying for everybody of Asian descent in America has had hell thrown at them over the past year. Trump's Kung flu and China flu comments have put people in real danger. Just what, 2 weeks ago, those girls got arrested for coughing and pepper spraying Asian Uber drivers because they were clearly being racist.
Yeah.
There's been talk about, when Seattle got hit hard, you couldn't walk the streets if you remotely looked Asian because people would be blaming you for shutting down the economy. It's like, so this new thing equals a terrified segment of the population who deserves to be recognized by everybody, including the governments,
right,
and offered a safe space to be able to speak out and say, hey, yeah, this has been a problem, here's my story, and not get shut down by these rednecks who are claiming that it's just a lone wolf, mentally ill, unstable kid, because that excuse gets really old after the dozenth time.
Well, like, one of the things I've seen is
dozenth? Doesn't? Does the 12th time? Yeah. I don't know. Generic term.
There's a tendency to blame it on, it's the Christian angle on it, the Christian purity culture, as being purely at fault. And then there is the tendency to blame it on, it was anti-Asian racism. And that was purely what was at fault. When, no, it's the two.
And the gender.
And the
sexist.
Yes, the sexist angle.
You know, women are just throwaway objects. Temptations meant to lead you astray.
Yeah, basically the subject of that song in Hunchback of Notre Dame, like the Disney cartoon, like the priest singing about he has to destroy Esmeralda because of his desire for her. Like, this is that.
This is that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And when you we've been talking for a couple of years now about the major overlap between white supremacy and Christian nationalism.
That Venn diagram is basically a circle now.
Yeah. Yes, there are atheist white supremacists who are not Christian nationalists. There are also atheist white supremacists who are Christian nationalists. And I don't think there are any Christian nationalists who are not white supremacists at this point. He was in a Southern Baptist church in Georgia. He was getting fed that bullshit. And if you look at this as a Christian slash white nationalist issue, that is terrifying as fuck to anybody who is not a white Christian.
Yeah.
And why we want Trump to not have a platform to direct them to do things.
Exactly. And why he should have been barred from ever holding a position of power where he mm-hmm. could have done that in the future. But thanks, McConnell, for fucking that up.
Need these neckbeard basement dwelling assholes vote that will just turn against like the progress of the actual country. God,
they're bringing, yeah, it's like, I don't know, people, the older generation have a certain ideal, and they are pissing off younger, vulnerable people to get that completed, to get that finished. And it's turning these particularly young white men mm-hmm. into these terrorists, and it's insane. Like, that mm-hmm. the church should have been the one who say, hey, dude, you need to chill. You need to calm the fuck down, all right? This is not safe for you or anybody else to be thinking these things. Instead, they just stoke the fire, and it's mm-hmm. like, ugh.
Well, and he would have been going to places and being in groups that were specifically trying to help him treat his quote-unquote sex addiction that would have been feeding him bullshit about temptation and avoiding temptation and fighting the temptation. And
I don't know, I like to think of it as AA, you know. Yeah, avoid the temptation, but don't go burn down your local liquor store. Don't go shoot up anybody you see having a drink. That's not how it works. Yeah. You can't live in that world.
Yeah, that is some high-grade delusion.
Yeah, well, there's also the, you know, maybe we need to teach this stuff in public education, because obviously the parents aren't doing it. Where yeah. sex is approached as a normal thing mm-hmm. and not something to be ashamed of and hide and kill and murder, etc. But
a biological function that's driven reproduction since
ever?
Yeah, billions of years that maybe instead of like fighting all those urges and pretending like feeling like you have this hormonal drive. You kind of like harness that, being like, yes, we address this, is, and this is like a healthy approach to cultivating relationships instead of just treating the gender preference into a sex object.
Mm-hmm.
Turn it into a superpower. Harness it.
Well, and okay, Jason, I'm sure you remember what it was like to be a roughly 15 to 21 year old male.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I can.
I'm pretty sure most of you try to block that out.
Where I am thoroughly convinced that every male in, okay, really 14 to 25, is incredibly dangerous. The hormones are a very potent drug, and it takes a long time to learn how to manage having that in your system. And at 21, you can then buy pistols with no questions asked and then use that to kill people. So that drive was all still there. There's a reason why militaries try to recruit young men. It's they want to fuel that seething rage that is right under the surface. And what Christian purity culture does is it takes one of the possible outlets for that pressure that is there and tries to put a cap on it. And if you put a cap on one of the possible outlets, that pressure is going to blow somewhere else.
I do want to intercede here that it is every human being between the age of 14 and 25.
Okay, yes.
Women just do it in a much more psychologically, emotionally damaging way than men do.
Yes. More likely to drive somebody to suicide as opposed to committing murder.
There you go. I mean, that's a really, I mean, yeah. Generically speaking, yeah. This people are messed up in that age. Their brains have gone to mush, and it's hard to get that get past that.
And don't make it worse.
And yeah. Not.
Government-issued sex toys for everybody in that age.
There you go.
Also counseling that you treat people like people no matter how much you're attracted to them.
Yeah.
Just fap it out.
Exactly. There you go. Don't feel bad. Maybe lock the door.
Okay, so...
We now have two people watching.
Oh, wow.
Hello, both of you.
Hi!
The Idaho State Legislature...
Cringe.
...while debating... several bills to prohibit mask mandates, one of which, right as they were, the legislature had to shut down because of a COVID outbreak in the Idaho State House of Representatives. Six
Surprise.
Members tested positive in the last week.
It only took, I was surprised it took a year. I was expecting this to happen a year ago.
Well, they adjourned early last year.
To avoid
COVID as it was starting to build up.
True.
And so now they're all having to deal with it.
Yeah. Just like everybody else has been having to deal with it for the past year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what sucks is two Democrats?
One Democrat.
One Democrat who he claims has been following the rules gets sick. And it is frustrating because it's like, okay, I follow the rules and I still get sick. Look, well, that's because your Republican colleagues have been such little babies about this that they are bypassing security lines. They're taking masks off as soon as they can.
Or refusing to wear
them in the first place. It's like the mask protects you from infecting others more so than it protects you from others.
Mm-hmm.
If the people next to you insist on going maskless, you wearing a mask is only... somewhat limiting the chances of you catching the disease. That's just how the water molecule thing works. And it sucks if you've been doing it right and you still get sick.
Yeah. Yeah. Because one of the parts of doing it right is avoiding large gatherings, which the state legislature is a large gathering.
In closed spaces, like all those little meeting rooms that they go into to discuss.
And if half the people in there aren't wearing masks and the other half are wearing masks, the people who are wearing the masks are less likely to catch COVID, but not going to catch it. You know, six Republicans to one Democrat catching COVID. It's only about, I think, a 4-to-1 ratio of Republican to Democrat in the Idaho State House. So Republicans have caught COVID at a higher rate than Democrats have. But it fits exactly what you would expect when about half of the members of the state house refused to wear masks.
Yeah.
So fucking idiotic and selfish.
And they were in the middle of debating, like, they had one bill that they had to send back. Okay, this one was really crazy. They were debating the bill, and the chair of the committee, a Republican from Caldwell, pointed out that as it was written, it would prohibit any requirements to wear a mask for any government employment. But it was written so vaguely that it would mean that a school couldn't refuse to hire someone to be a welding teacher who refused to wear a welding mask.
Or nurses?
And
or doctors?
County hospitals. It was also brought up that a county-owned hospital, they wouldn't be able to not hire somebody who refused to wear gloves.
Of course, you expect nobody would be that stupid in those professions. And yet, here we are in Idaho, where that's happening all the time.
He also brought up that, when you have this kind of a bill, are you sure that you can't imagine a possible pandemic where you might want one? Later that day, he tested positive for COVID.
That day? Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
These are
notoriously bad laws that get pushed in emergencies like this. Usually it's on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't tell us what to do. We're going to do whatever the hell they want. It's usually the, no, you need to do this. And, man, I wish they had passed that.
It's okay. For one, it, from Revan in chat. Hey all, congrats.
Yay.
Thank you. This is one of those where they were a week away from trying to adjourn for the session and still trying to get budgets passed. And they can't adjourn until the budgets are passed. This was a bill that was still in committee in the House. They have adjourned.
A little late on the game,
yeah,
there.
They have adjourned for a couple of weeks. They will come back in the second week of April to work for a week or maybe two to finish up business. This bill will not get taken up by the Senate.
No.
It's not going to happen. It's dead in the water.
So they need to stop wasting time on stuff like this because... Idaho is, their budget isn't the best. They really need to be working on that primarily, and then having this other, these pet projects kind of like treated as secondary, not primary issues. We don't want Bundyites to be messing this all up.
Oh, but man, yeah. The Idaho State Legislature always does
the fucking worst job.
On another totally random Idaho-centric thing, Bob's Burgers' most recent episode had Rexburg potatoes, and it was awesome. He had bags of Rexburg potatoes in the basement.
Oh, nice.
Anybody who goes to Five Guys, I think it's Five Guys, they're the ones that have big bags of Rexburg potatoes lining the aisle as you go up to order food. Locally sourced potatoes, they're very proud of that. But
all right, so House Bill 294 in the Idaho State Legislature made it to the Senate Education Committee. This was the one that we talked about a couple weeks ago that would have created a voucher program to allow you to take 90% of the money that would have been spent on your kid at a public school and use it to fund Christian schools. That got enough pushback that the Senate Education Committee removed that part of the bill.
Good.
So yes, it will totally. Yep.
Now if we can get that pre-K funding put back in, that would be great. I think that should have been an automatic go as soon as that guy opened his mouth and said women need to be home with their kids. Yeah, the entire state government should have been, sorry, here's a voucher. Here's money for you to send your kids to daycare or school, because that guy's an asshole.
Yeah, I think old white men in power should have their heads removed from their ass, but that's just
that's old-fashioned thinking.
Yeah, old-fashioned thinking. Pepperidge Farms remembers.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is... Yeah, so this bill, though, they're still going to have the part of the bill. So the part that survives is the $500 grant for parents to be able to, low-income parents to be able to get access to school supplies for their kids.
Yeah, there wasn't already something like that? Of course not.
No. There'd been some temporary programs. There'd been some stuff through the food bank and through school districts. Small stuff. This is part of a federal program. And $30 million in federal funds, and it will cover 70,000 students.
Okay.
The surviving bill will allow parents with kids in both public and private schools to apply, but at least it won't go to directly funding private schools.
Yeah, that buying notebooks and pencils for your kid going to charter school is a little bit different than paying their way into the charter school.
Charter school is different than private school.
Sorry. Oh, okay. They were differentiating.
This is specifically private, public and private schools. Charter schools in terms of funding are public, despite in administration being private. They are a horrible abomination that should not exist.
Yeah, just take a look at the reading and English scores on our neighborhood charter school. That will scare you. Great in science and math. They're doing great there, but they do believe that reading comes naturally and at the kid's own pace. And if they don't know how to read by sixth grade, then so be it. That is okay. Hmm. That is not. It's been scientifically proven that kids who are introduced to phonetic explanations of spelling and reading at an earlier age do better. I'm off my soapbox now. Thank you.
All right. Arizona, South Carolina, and Montana's state legislatures are all currently working on bills that are supposedly designed to exempt religious... Okay, it's supposedly designed to exempt churches from liability over COVID and also exclude them from COVID restrictions.
Give me a break.
If you're going to exclude them from restrictions, you cannot forego the liability. That's just stupid.
Except they are written so vaguely that these laws, if they go into effect, will provide immunity for any religious organization in any criminal prosecution or civil liability. That would include things like priests sexually abusing children. These would shield churches from that. They're that big.
Wow.
An accidental? An aim.
Yeah, who wrote these?
Yeah.
Sounds like the Catholics did.
It would shield religious organizations from any consequences from violating any non-discrimination laws. It would protect religiously motivated hate groups from criminal prosecution.
That is crazy sauce. What?
And
they're just opening themselves up to mayhem.
It would also prevent patients at religiously owned hospitals from suing for medical negligent or reckless care if the hospital can claim that was based on religious beliefs.
Oh my God.
Corporations are people too, therefore hospital administrations are. And what happens when you're in an area like, you know, here, where you've got hospital, you don't have a state-run hospital, you don't have a county hospital. It's two competing, basically, religious hospitals.
Mm-hmm. That would both be immune from prosecution and liability.
Hint, don't go to the Catholic one. But if you had to, that's not your choice.
Yeah.
If you're in an emergency, you go to the hospital. You don't care who's administrating it. But
if you get picked up by an ambulance, you don't have a choice in where you go. And this is...
And more people are refusing that service anyway. They're staying home to die.
But this is religious exemptions that are so broad that they're basically absolute. It's basically a get out of jail or lawsuit free card, as long as you can say it was because of religion.
So down the line, when some horrible thing is exposed, who is it that's going to have to apologize and pay out to all the families that were negatively impacted?
No one.
It's the state. It's the country or state,
except the
who
state,
allowed these laws to be put forth, who have to, in 10 years, go, sorry, we didn't know that this was going to happen. We are sorry it did happen. Here's $1 million to get you to shut up about it.
Because what's going to happen is, okay, South Carolina, Arizona, and Montana. And then, you know, it'll probably spread to other states. But that would set it up for the Catholic Church to move priests to those states.
Get those problem priests out of the danger zone.
They wouldn't have to move them to Canada or to Brazil or the Vatican. They could just move them to Arizona. Go retire in Arizona and no one will bother you.
Get bit by a scorpion while you're at it.
This is bad.
It's so scary and so unbelievable. Like, you don't believe that this could actually possibly pass. But all it takes is one state to really screw it up for everybody else.
And yeah, well, I could easily imagine this being intentional to create complete religious shields for all religious organizations. I'm going to guess these are probably much more similar in their aim to the bill in Idaho we talked about that would have made it so that you couldn't require welding teachers to wear a welding helmet.
Yeah, they just don't know how to write legislation.
But they just wrote it wrong. They were trying to be... Because that one... The problem with the Idaho bill was that the clause 1, 2, and 3 was explicit in only applying in the case of a public health emergency. And the third one wasn't.
I mean, just what a way to cripple your government.
Yeah.
People voted you in to run it, not destroy it. Oh, wait, except for we're in Idaho, where that is the case.
And in these other states, I could easily imagine these were bills designed to make it so you can't sue churches for getting COVID at a church service. That's the goal.
Or but if you write firing it, outed gay teachers or...
But if they're writing it vague enough to... You know, you can't just say church. They need to say religious organization so that mosques and synagogues are covered too, so that they don't get blamed at Christian favoritism. And in the process, write it so vague that it just excludes all liability, period.
Yeah, and that's been shown to be a terrible, terrible direction.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I won't go to church anymore.
I think for your health, for your sake, yeah, I'd skip the next church service.
Yeah, I was going to do that anyway.
Easter's coming up. One or two times a year that you go, some people out there.
Yeah.
I do see my favorite church marquee during that time, though, because I just remember on like Fairview, there was a church that just said, "He has risen indeed, egg hunt to follow."
That's awesome.
Yeah. The Roman Catholic Church had a meeting of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith that reviewed the church's policy on same-sex unions. This was at the request of priests who wanted to be able to be involved in officiating, or at least being involved in, same-sex marriages or civil unions, depending on the country. And their decision was no, just no.
Yeah, but I mean, no surprise there.
They referred to same-sex unions as a choice, as sinful, and said, quote, cannot be recognized as objectively ordered to God's plans. In other words, can't make babies.
To me, that's one of the appeals.
Now, they don't take that to its logical conclusion of not allowing elderly couples to not get married, since they can't have babies.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What about infertile people? Can they not get married?
Nope, that's not a problem.
Pretty sure they need to stop the priests fucking little boys for mm-hmm. this to be taken seriously by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If this is a problem for you, you're in the wrong church.
Yeah.
Get out while you can, because you should have left a long time ago. I mean, they all suck. They're all crazy, but that one in particular is just particularly hypocritical about it.
Well, the hope around it was because of Pope Francis's statements about
this is their cover up for his statements, basically.
This was basically the response to that. It made some people hopeful that the Catholic Church was liberalizing and would be more gay friendly, and so they reviewed it, and Pope Francis approved the statement that no, they do not support same-sex marriage. Anybody who thought that Pope Francis was going to change the Catholic Church was a fool.
Right.
Yep.
The Catholic Church is nearly 2,000 years old. Organizations that old and that tradition driven are very slow to change, especially when they're that global.
Yeah.
We talked a couple weeks ago about some new laws in India that in a couple of states that are prohibiting interfaith marriages. Specifically Hindu and Muslim marriages. And now that those have gone into effect, people are already starting to notice and write about the effects that this is having on real people.
Yeah. Yeah. The unintended consequences?
No, the intended consequences.
Or just the intended.
This is the
intended. I mean, that's
one.
A duh. We all knew that was... This is obviously going to be a problem for a lot of people.
Yeah.
This is just them saying they don't care.
This article talks about a Muslim woman and Hindu man who met in college after years of friendship, fell in love, had to keep it secret, had to quietly go on vacations to see each other and only do it in public so they'd be less suspicious. And then eventually their families found out, and especially her Muslim family was irate about it and refusing to allow any relationship to happen. His Hindu family was also irate about it. Both families have tried to force their kids into marrying somebody of the same religion by picking spouses for them, and they had to hop trains and head to Delhi to a shelter for interfaith couples that specifically exists to allow people like that to hide from their families. Well, wow. they hopped the trains because not only at that point where they had needing to be afraid of their parents, but what they were doing was against the law in the state they were in.
Yeah. And everybody who, and the people who wrote the law for that state are glad that they're gone.
Yep.
They weren't doing anybody any favors by passing this law. I mean, when you write a law that's out to get somebody, of course you're going to drive those people out.
Now, what's
I just hope that other people look at that and say, oh, that's terrible. And they find a way to undo the damage. But
now what's kind of funny is this is actually a case that is the opposite of what the law was designed to prevent. In Islam, the religion of children is based on the religion of the father. So a Muslim man can marry a non-Muslim, and that's fine, because their children will be Muslim. But a Muslim woman cannot marry a non-Muslim because her children would not be Muslim. And so that would be bad. So Hindus have been, the Hindu nationalists in India have been concerned about this alleged organized effort by Muslim men to seduce Hindu women to eliminate Hinduism in India.
That's a great one. I love that. You really have to start reaching for conspiracy.
And that's where what the law is trying to avoid. Well,
this was the opposite.
This is the opposite. The whole reasons for the law, the think of the children argument, doesn't apply.
Was this come up with my man? Is what I'm guessing.
Yes. Yes. This was developed by Hindu men who were afraid that Muslim men would be trying to seduce their daughters.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So are most laws.
Yeah, that's true.
It's all property. I mean, that's all it has to do with it. Children are property. Women are property. How do you keep that guy from stealing your property?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all this ever comes down to.
Yeah. I need a way to say that guy's gross and put him in jail.
Yep.
All right. From Jerry Holiday in the YouTube live chat. Congrats, guys. Happy 400th.
Aww.
Thank you, Jerry.
Yeah, I can't believe we made it.
Well, Dustin has.
I've been on like four or five of them.
Yeah. More than that.
Way more than that. At least seven or eight.
You've been on enough for us to call you a regular.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
I can't buy that kind of clothing, so it's nice to be regular somewhere.
Yep. This is a couple hours after I have done shoe shopping for somebody who's size 11 quadruple E.
What's the E for?
Butt width, big, wide feet.
D is considered normal width for men. 2E is considered wide. 4E is considered extra wide. Or in some brands, extra, extra wide.
It's just a little harder to shop for, is all.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Tanzania's president, John Magufuli, died mysteriously after weeks of being known to be ill, but nobody knew where he was. Officially, according to his successor, who had been his vice president, he had a heart condition that he'd had for 10 years, and that's what killed him. Yeah. Especially when you consider that...
What embarrassing disease could possibly have taken this guy out? Let's tally them up.
Was there anything he was vocal against?
Oh, boy. Here we go. His nickname was the Bulldozer. He was elected in 2015, promising to tackle corruption and work on infrastructure development.
Yeah, that's what they all get elected for.
Instead, he cracked down on the media, civil society, opposition parties.
That's what they always do.
Uh-huh. He was reelected in what some diplomats called a sham because of election rigging, foreign media not being involved, or observer teams being involved, allowed to watch. And also a major and oppressive military presence during the vote. Then, after he got reelected, COVID hit, and he quickly declared COVID to be eliminated from his country. That was in April, because they'd prayed about it, and God had removed COVID from the country. He refused any mask mandates, any social distancing measures, any other public health measures to try to avoid an outbreak. And when he'd be asked if there was a COVID problem in his country, he would say, no, there is no COVID here. We prayed and God took COVID away. It wasn't until a week before he was hospitalized that he finally admitted that there was even COVID in his country.
So he's like, nope, nope, nope. Well, okay, maybe. And then he disappeared.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And died.
Sounds like a good thing. God removed him from the country.
Yeah.
All part of God's plan.
So, yeah. He denied COVID.
Sucks for his country, though. How have they been faring? Does it mention, like, death rates or anything?
No, that's been suppressed.
Of course.
And when you've got a government that is suppressing the media...
No, everybody's just dying of pneumonia.
Yeah.
Yeah, them's the COVID.
There is COVID. The data isn't available because it's been suppressed as to how bad COVID is compared to elsewhere in Africa.
Mm.
The World Health Organization has been begging Tanzania to start sharing data and to do something.
Please do something, anything.
Yeah. They're hopeful that with a new president, who will be the first female leader of Tanzania.
All right.
They're hopeful that she might do better, but...
She was still his vice president, though, yeah. Right? So...
Yep.
Maybe unscrupulous, tainted.
Yeah. From Jerry Holiday, if only Trump could have met the same fate.
Yeah, there's not many people out there that I wish death upon. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I hadn't wished him to die when he had COVID. There would have been some schadenfreude if he had.
Yeah, that's fair.
There are a bunch of pastors who are...
Is that like a murder of crows?
Yes, there is a murder of pastors who are leaving their churches because their members have been wooed by QAnon.
Oh, and that's sad.
And they've been, in some cases, leaving earlier because, in one guy's case, his wife was high risk for COVID. He was 61, didn't want to go to church services in person during COVID. The church had decided that no, they had to have in-person meetings, and they offered to build a plexiglass enclosure around the pulpit for him. He's like, no, that's not enough. We'd still be in the same room.
Wow.
So he's been since then.
If anything, that just protects the person inside the pulpit.
It's to avoid the droplets. It's not the aerosolized amount in the air.
Yeah.
Just
buzzing around you at all times.
There's a pastor in a Reformed church in Michigan who has had members of his congregation who keeps sending him QAnon videos and talking to him as much as they can about sex trafficking and Satan worshiping pedophiles.
Oh my God. Yeah. I basically unfollowed my flesh and blood because they posted some pedophile thing. I'm like, dude, this is QAnon stuff. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. You do realize that this is BS. Whatever. Done.
Yep. There's a few that were already getting kind of concerned about where their members were going with, you know, COVID and QAnon. And then the Capitol riot happened, the insurrection, and they had members who were a part of it. And the board refused to take any action against those members. And so, yeah, there are, with this whole crazy Christian nationalist bullshit, it's not all Christians.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the ones that don't belong to the in group get pushed out pretty quick.
Yep.
Yeah, it's starting to sound like not all men.
Yeah. And then the echo chamber gets smaller and more echoey. All right. And for the last two stories, I've got clips.
Ooh, clips. Fancy pants.
Yeah,
so QAnon conspiracy theorist and prophet Johnny Enlow.
You lost me at prophet.
He went.
You can't be a conspiracy theorist and a prophet, right? Because that, like, you're declaring the conspiracy not a theory or a conspiracy at that point.
He's okay. He's a QAnon adherent.
Okay,
and
he's just
prophet.
Cray cray.
But yeah,
kids still say that cray cray. No, Okay.
I don't know.
the kids.
But he compared Trump to David and said other, well, crap, I closed the folder.
Well, like David and Goliath David?
Like David and Goliath David, who had spent, you know, was told, promised by the prophet Samuel that he would be king after Saul, and then Saul died, and the head of the army made Saul's young son king, not David. And 2 years later, Saul's son was murdered, and David became king of all of Israel.
Murdered by whom?
I don't remember that
David.
Detail.
Just saying.
Or he abdicated. Anyway, he left, and David became king of all of Israel. And so Johnny Inlow is sure that Trump is, yeah, he's back, and here's why.
President Trump is the president that has been ordained, nominated by the Lord, prophesied all the way from King Clement's days, and over 1,000 prophets still hang on to around the world, prophetic voices, whether known or not known, that he's in. President Trump is king right now, the tribe of Judah. If you can go in the spirit, if you can see what's in heaven, who's sitting in the throne, go up and look at the presidency seat in heaven, see who's there. It ain't Biden. It's Trump.
Yeah, I cut out...
God,
a lot right
stupid.
There in the middle
like
of that,
that
because
it, oh yeah,
it was
it rambles.
So there in the middle, he talked about the all of the votes that are hidden, and he knows why they're hidden from view. That made it so that Trump actually won 70% of the vote, still holding on to that, and did this whole David and the tribe of Judah thing, and that after the midterms, Trump will be put back in office.
That's not how it works, though. That's not how any of this works.
It's not. No.
What is he talking about?
Not the United States of America. I don't know what country he's talking about, but...
Is there an election in heaven that...
Yeah, what? A president's seat in heaven, as if they really care? And why would it be a person who's alive and well?
Right.
In this hypothetical throne.
Yeah, it'd be your jurisdiction.
Stepping
it makes
on
no
Satan's
sense.
Toes, that's for sure.
Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense. Why would there be a throne for the U.S. president in heaven? Presidents don't have thrones.
Well, you know, he didn't mean it literally. That's what they always say. I didn't mean it literally. I'm like, that's because everything you talk about is imaginary, so there is nothing literal here.
Well, he said he saw it in a dream.
Oh, of course.
God showed him in a dream.
Is he microdosing? Is he macrodosing?
Or are these COVID fever dreams?
My car still doesn't have pepperoni wheels, despite the weird dreams I have.
Oh. And then we
too
have...
spicy for the road.
Then we have... Rick Joyner, who is a frequent on the Tim Baker Show, which is a on the Jim Baker Show, and he's a regular on there. They like to go into this crazy evangelical, charismatic, prophetic craziness, and so his latest was some real Trumpian fear-mongering. And I've broken it up into three separate clips because, again, it was long. But
people
oh,
listen
man.
To this crap. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
With the environment that's being created now, especially with, I think, what is pouring right now across our southern border, I tell you, we have to be ready to defend our families, our communities, our neighbors, our churches, everything, because it is coming home. This is going to, I don't believe there's going to be a neighborhood exempt from what's coming, is what is pouring across. And we have to do that. You know, when the scripture that says that those who do not provide for their own families are worse than infidels.
He goes on to explain, and by provide, he means protect, mm-hmm. like with weapons.
Yeah, right. You're not providing protection, not, you know, stable family dynamic or income or
It's the refugees and migrants and unaccompanied children going en masse to the U.S. southern border that he's referring to, that and the Black Lives Matter protests. I'm sure that's what he meant by the current climate.
Yeah,
that they're coming.
Yeah, they've been coming forever, and funny how it's Mm-hmm. Nothing's really changed.
Well, and oh, go ahead.
No, it's degrading.
Yeah, and you add in the effects of the pandemic on the economy. Anytime you have economic turmoil, migration from poorer countries to richer countries increases. You add in the fact that we've been actively destabilizing Central America for the last 120 years. And yeah, it's not surprising that you have people from Central America going to the country that has been actively screwing up their homes for more than a century. And then you add to it Nicaragua getting hit by two Category 4 hurricanes in a row just a few months ago. Yeah. People are struggling, people are suffering, and they're trying to find a better life somewhere else.
Bad hombres. How dare they? How dare they wish for something better? That's the American dream, not theirs.
And there have been enough people sending
idiots
trying to escape bad situations that they've been sending their children unaccompanied to the border at such a number that there isn't anywhere to house them.
Yeah, still waiting on Biden to do something about that. Nothing.
He's still trying to figure out what you can. They're out of room.
At least come out and say something.
Yeah.
At least admit there's a problem. Not this silence. This eerie, eerie silence.
All right. So here's Rick Joyner's second clip.
In that dream, I saw militias popping up like mushrooms all over the country. These weren't racist militias. They weren't evil intent. All they wanted to do was protect their communities. And the Lord showed me in this dream that he had seeded our whole country with a provision to defeat this onslaught.
Like mushrooms.
Macro dosing.
And in a dream, he saw this in a dream.
Prophetic, right. More like pathetic. That was a good one.
And if you have to say these weren't racist militias, that's kind
of yeah, right? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
They're not racist, but
they will tough out all non-white invaders.
Yeah. Yep. Oh my gosh.
All right. And then the third part.
Oh God, we're not done. That's right.
Okay. But the war that is unfolding, it's gone right down to, I think, every neighborhood and every community, every city, and it will be a civil war.
So there's militias popping up everywhere like mushrooms,
which are apparently blessed by God.
And no neighborhood in any city will be safe because of these not racist, not evil militias.
Yeah, so he's mixing up the time frame of his dreams here. I guess
the coherent thought is these militias will be protecting you because all of these not white people are going to be everywhere because they're just flooding in across the border and out of the inner cities, and they're going to be in every neighborhood and no one will be safe. So these militias will be there to save them.
Except you just said that they're going to be everywhere and nobody's safe.
Yeah.
And it's a civil war.
Yeah.
So if it's a civil war, that means you're not going to be protecting your community. You're going to be killing everybody you disagree with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. He was encouraging Christians to get guns to be ready for the civil war.
Can't wait for all the Idaho militia nuts to just pile on and I don't know.
They're too busy being down at City Hall or the courts or something supporting Bundy.
Burning masks.
Burning masks. Yeah.
Burning Biden flags that don't exist because we're not.
Yeah.
Deifying a candidate. Because that's weird.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
that's pretty much a guarantee that you're going with the wrong person.
My fear here would be that the 3%ers actually have 3% of the population.
I think that's a best guess. There's a lot more than that.
Mm.
It's Idaho.
Most of them are going to go down in the first spat of their imaginary battle anyway.
Oh yeah.
Who will be the first ones up against the wall when the revolution comes?
It's going to be the ones like that playing with their guns that actually have going to, and it's like nothing like Battlefield. Oh.
This isn't co-op. What?
All right. Well, we've got one feedback, bit of feedback to go through. From Adam Ogre Boatswain, again, via YouTube, he wrote, your discussion of EIPOC populations. That's Black, Indigenous, people of color. Populations being the largest group of anti-vaxxers definitely put some things into perspective for me. It makes sense, but not something you really think about living in Karen White, Idaho. I'd like to see an episode on racial health disparities, if you haven't already done that yet, that is. If you have, please let me know which episode to go check out.
Well, as two white people, I can confidently say we don't know shit.
No. No.
I also do not know.
Yeah. I do work in healthcare. I have seen a lot of stuff on racial disparities in healthcare at work, but I've mostly been busy doing my job. I haven't really had time to dig into those as much as I would have liked to. But we do have some contacts who I'm sure we could get back on the show who are way more knowledgeable on this with firsthand experience. And I think that would be a much better place to get that from is people who actually have lived it.
Yeah. And not the, what do you call that? Armchair philosophers.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The people that have lived it that can actually speak to like what it's actually like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And give them a voice.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, you know, a little off brand, I think, than what we usually do, but definitely nothing that we haven't touched upon in the past. So an anti-vaccine, that definitely goes into the the bucket of crap that we cover. So I definitely would like to.
Well, and we've done little more looking at the humanist and skeptic side of things interviews. We had one a couple years ago with Kelly Wright about healthcare for trans people, how that works. And this would be similar in where it's best to get the perspectives of somebody who has lived it and not just try to pontificate about it.
Yeah.
So I will get to working on that.
Cool.
And we have a new patron, Bobby.
Yay, thank you.
Thank you, Bobby. Patronage has been going down lately, so it's nice seeing some new support.
Yeah. Share the podcast with your friends.
Yes. And Jason, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, it's always fun to come on here and talk about how stupid the world is.
Yeah, it kind of makes the next couple hours a bit of a downer, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all good.
At least we can vent a little.
And Lauren, thank you for sacrificing your nap.
All right. No nap for me, but that's okay. Worth it.
No, we'll still try and get you one.
Dude, my head hits the pillow in about 4 minutes.
And listeners, remember, and viewers, remember, not all those who wander are lost.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.
You need to update that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Cut that Facebook link out.
Okay, we got another comment from Jerry Holiday in the YouTube live chat. Do you guys think we should limit immigration during COVID?
I don't know. I see those as two completely separate problems, so I can't say so. I don't know. I guess that's a hard one.
Jason, what are your thoughts?
I don't really know a lot about that. Like the initial thought is that if it cuts down on transmission rates. That sounds like a good idea, but...
Like, maybe not keeping all these people into, like, really small shelters where they all catch it.
Mm-hmm.
That would be good. I definitely agree with that. Stopping immigration because of the risk of COVID, I don't think is logical, though.
My thought on it is...
That's what quarantining is for.
Is yes and no.
That's a terrible answer.
Yes, you can limit. I think limiting immigration reasonably is acceptable because of COVID. Stopping immigration because of COVID is heartless and
unrealistic,
unreasonable and unrealistic.
Yeah, sounds right.
And where I'd say the reasonable limitations would be is in the inefficiencies of the process. Everything is slower. Everything is more inefficient right now. If you have limitations on the capacities of facilities, obviously you cannot process as many people through that facility. If you have staff out sick with COVID, obviously, that's going to cut down on how many people you can process through.
So limiting it a little bit to not create additional bottlenecks would seem likely to reduce transmission rates. Unfortunately, we've seen it doesn't, because limiting immigration on the southern border, even reasonably because of COVID, has resulted in camps being set up right on the southern side of the U.S. border, where you have a lot of people packed into unsanitary conditions during a pandemic waiting to get across. And that should be avoided.
Yeah, that's...
So you have to measure it on both sides. On the southern border, it should probably be get people across the border as quickly as possible, have facilities, humane facilities set up for quarantines, and then get people into the country as quickly and safely as you can. And when it comes to people flying into the country from, say, Europe or Africa or Korea to immigrate, limit as much as you need to ensure you're not overflowing any of the facilities. The southern border, of course, is always going to be more complicated than people on airline flights. But
it seems like two different camps there.
Yeah.
It's like they're the very logistically controllable one and then the logistically uncontrollable one. And you need to do your best to make sure that the uncontrollable one doesn't just spread like wildfire. And so, yeah, you need to focus more on that and keeping people not dying there.
Yeah.
Has not been our pride point in the past couple of years.
So, yeah, I would say my answer is, again, yes or no.
Yes and no?
Yes and no. There's probably not a right answer.
Yeah, that's a loaded question. It really depends on what you're talking about when you mean immigration.
Yeah. Oh, and like most things when it comes to the pandemic, there isn't a right answer. You just need to find the least worst answer. And
wrong.
And hope that it actually goes according to plan.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go ahead in the stream. Thanks for people watching. Thank you, Jerry, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. And I'm ending.
Bye-bye.